You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Backpacking Podcast. John Kelly here with you tonight. I'm riding solo. Jeremiah's taking the night off, and I'm here by myself with you guys and an amazing guest tonight. But before we get started on anything, before we do anything, I do want to say we have 55 comments, and we just started the podcast. So you guys have gotten on here quick, and you're already leaving comments all over the place, which is awesome. But got a big announcement. Big announcement. If you were on Instagram this afternoon, you might have seen I posted something about a huge announcement that we're making tonight, and I'm going to go ahead and make it right here at the beginning so everybody knows what's going on. April 1st, we're going to have Rob Pelton on the podcast. Now, that in itself is a great announcement, but we're going to be live at J&H Outdoors in Lexington, Kentucky, doing an in-person live stream. So we're going to somehow try and figure out how to do a podcast with a studio audience in front of us and live stream it at the same time. This could be the greatest failure in the history of the Backpacking Podcast, but we're going to give it a shot and see what happens. Should be a lot of fun. And I'm going to do my best to keep up with comments and stuff, but we have one of the most interesting guests that we've had on the show before. We've brought him back because he's getting ready to attack a beast of a trail in the PCT, and we can't wait to get him on here. So without further ado, and without me talking anymore, let's bring on Frozen. What's up, man?
What's going on, dude? Thanks for having me again. Not tired of me yet, I guess.
Absolutely, dude. We got to have you back on here. You know, last time we were on here, we talked about kind of the transformation that you overwent when you went through the AT. I remember watching those videos, which I still say you and maybe a couple other people to this day, I think, have the best video series of your AT hikes. A lot of yours is based on how it ended because you did this incredible ending to your hike on it. But back then you had said something, I may do the PCT, I may not. And for a while it looked like maybe this isn't going to happen. But you've decided to go after it. What made you go, I'm going to attack this thing?
Oh, it was always going to happen. I mean, yeah. I set it on Bald Pate Mountain in Maine that I'm going to hike it within 5 years. I'll tell you what, though, John, it was a struggle. You know, we had COVID, could have got laid off there. And then we have inflation now, could have just not saved up the money. But I just got the money like 2-3 months ago, and we're going, baby. PCT.
Nice.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this question, since we're on the topic of money. What are you budgeting month by month? Because how many are you taking? 6 months, 5 months? How long are you planning to take this in?
I got 5 months. I got 141 days to do this thing. A little bit outside the zones. People tend to figure to end in September, like the end of September. I got to finish before September 1st, because I got two stepkids, 9 and 10. So one's going to middle school, one's going to elementary, and my wife is just rocking this whole thing. And I'm just walking from Mexico to Canada. She's the one taking care of three kids by herself.
Right.
So she's being really supportive. I just want to be there for the school and to help drive kids around for their activities. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. I hear that. Cause I'm in the same boat that you are. I've got two kids. Hiking isn't as easy to get away for as it used to be.
Nope, not at all.
So how has that transition been for you from being a single guy who could just basically hike whenever you feel like it to now you've got this family that you got to think about.
It's been great, to be honest with you. My stepdaughter Scarlett, she's gone to the Dolly Sods with me. We've done some day hikes together. She absolutely loves it. I play video games with my stepson, and Logan, my youngest, he's almost two. He'll be two in May while I'm on the trail. We just did his first 2 mile hike, and he did not want picked up. He just wanted to do the whole thing. So he's taken after his dad already, it looks like.
That's really cool, man. That's really cool.
So just seeing that just melts my heart. Yeah.
Oh, I can bet. So are
my
all the kids?
Heart.
So are all the kids in with you on the hiking thing? Do they all get into
it? Yeah, they do. They watch the videos too, which I think is hilarious. Even Logan, he's like, "Dada," you know. He knows.
Oh, that's
he cool. doesn't know why I'm in the TV. I don't think, but he knows that I'm on TV. So.
That is really cool, man.
Yeah.
I know for me, my son, if I say I'm going hiking or camping or backpacking, whatever it is, he immediately goes, "Can I go?"
Yeah.
"Can I go?" And it's hard to tell him no for some of these trips, you know? It's just hard to do that because you can't always take your son with you on some of these trips. But what kind of trips have you done with your kids so far?
Really, it's just been a couple overnights at my local park at Raccoon Creek. And then, like I said, we did a 3-day trip, short, 2-day trip, I guess, with my stepdaughter, Scarlett.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. So back to the PCT for a second.
Mm-hmm.
How much are you budging? I think we talked about it and we kind of got talking about family stuff.
I went off on the tangent.
Month by month for that one.
So I saved up 6 months of my salary. So my wife didn't know I was not financially here. I want to be able to, you know, support my family. That took the longest. We're in a big house now. We got a 3-bedroom house, moved up from, you know, something that's, you know, no sidewalk to a neighborhood. So especially during COVID prices. So got 6 months salary. I won't get into how much that's costing, but I'm budgeting $10,000 to complete the hike, which is your average money spent in the post COVID days. Used to be like 6,000 before COVID, but you know how prices are. Everything's just blown up.
When it costs as much to eat at McDonald's as it does Red Lobster.
Like $25. Like what?
Like, it doesn't make any
sense. What kind of double cheeseburger is $25 now?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. It's crazy how much everything costs right now. My wife and I are actually looking to buy a house right now. I took a new position at a new church that I'm working at. And I gotta find a place to live. And they're about $120,000 more than they were 2 years ago.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's absolutely
insane. Our house is like $200,000 more than when we bought it in 2020.
But you don't want to sell it because the interest rates are so high.
Oh no, I ain't selling this. Our interest rate is like 2-3% or something ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's insane. Just like the post COVID blues that we've got right now with all the cost of everything. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. What are the highlights that you're really excited about hitting while you're on this trail? Because I've watched a lot of people's videos and stuff. I'm just curious the things that you're really excited about getting to.
Washington's going to be a huge state. Before that, I think I'm really looking forward to the Sierra section, you know, 700 to 900 or whatever it is. That's just – I'm going to have to go in a little bit early to the Sierra. So the mountains – normally people go on like June 15th, known as Ray Day for Ray Jardine. That gives you like a limited snow experience. But I got to kind of scoot through there like mid to late May. So I'm in for some snow hiking, which I'm not totally comfortable doing, but, you know, we'll learn as I go, right?
Well, post-holing, right? I mean, you've got a
chance. Yeah, post-holing and sun cups are apparently real fun.
Yeah, I can imagine. Now, what's going to happen if you you get stuck in some of those things? You have to sit out for a few days to wait for the snow to kind of come down a little bit.
Yeah, there's a general store right outside Kennedy Meadows, which is like mile 702. It's like it's where everybody gets their like bear canisters and their winter gear kind of out for the Sierra. You can camp there for free. You just have to pay like the general store prices to eat and stuff, which is fine. That's totally cool. There's Wi-Fi and electric there. But I guess I'll just hold up there. I'm trying to go a little bit slow to start, and then, you know, Oregon, Washington will kind of barrel through those and pick up the miles there.
Nice. Do you expect to find yourself in a tramley like you did in the AT, or you think this is going to be a little more by yourself?
I was just thinking that the other day because, like, I didn't think I was going to hike with anybody on the AT, and I ended up, like, finishing with 6 other people. But I don't know how I can meet a bunch of people that are as cool as my last tramley. You know what I mean? Like, I have these friends that are forever friends now Like, we just got a mountain house and had a hot tub party and stuff. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I saw that on Instagram.
In Tennessee, yeah. And I just like, man, there can't be that many cool people in the world that I come across. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Actually, we'll see.
I want to look that picture up on Instagram because that was a great shot of you guys. And I have a story to tell you about one of those guys. Let me see if I can find the picture because I actually had one of my good friends went to college with one of your buddies.
Was it Marika?
I'm not sure. He's the younger guy.
Sam.
I'm gonna find it. It might be Sam.
He's blonde.
Did he go to Johnson University?
I don't know.
Okay, okay, here we go. I'm pulling the picture up.
Okay.
I'm gonna take a look at this real quick. Okay.
The guy on the right?
The guy in the yellow.
Yeah, that's our resident daddy.
Okay. Well, AKA Sam. He went to college with one of my really good friends.
How crazy is that, man?
So when he started his AT hike, my friend Rob goes, "You need to watch my friend Sam hike this trail." Like, he goes, yeah. "I know you're big into the AT. You need to watch him." And so I'm watching him, and about halfway through it, I'm watching your videos, and he's in one of the videos.
Yeah. I met him early, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, within the first 2 weeks, I met him.
It's just funny, like, the small world, you know?
Yeah.
Because they went to college together in Tennessee. And, it's just nuts. It's nuts. So what do you think's going to happen this time around? You think you're going to hit a tramway, or?
I have no idea. I'm going to go into it not expecting anything because that really worked well for me on the AT, and whatever happens, happens. You know, say yes to opportunities and go from there.
Right. All things outdoors. Jeremy said, "John, we should meet him on the JMT.
Should. Is that going to line up with your timeline?
That might be a little early. Okay. I was thinking next year, but, you know, I'm going to have to work out to get ready for that.
There you go. Yeah.
JMT's no joke.
No.
So you... What was the permit situation like for you? Do people get turned down for the PCT?
Yeah. I was stressed about the permit situation. It's gotten better, I think, over the years. I think the way it originally worked was people would open 7,000 like Chrome browser tabs, and each browser tab would have a different place in line to get your permit. So you'd have, you know, people with 4, 5, 6 computers at work with 100 Chrome tabs each, just spamming refresh, trying to get your permit. But this time, you register and you're assigned a random time to log in to the PCTA portal. From there, you know, based on your number in line, so to speak, you could choose a date between March 1 and May 31st. So,
okay.
Worked out for me. Yeah. Sounds I didn't like have it. Any problem. And they're always, you know, the permits are always freeing up after that because there's 2 permit periods, but, you know, people like, "Oh, I can't do this." And they just release it and then they just appear on the portal.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good system. I do. I really do.
Well, I've heard a lot of people will sign up for it and then just back out.
Yeah. I think people want to see what it's like for next year, if that makes any sense. So you like drop like 15, 20 people within the first week.
But, okay.
Yeah.
So how many now in comparison to the AT is probably one of the most crowded trails on the planet, if not the most crowded trail on the planet.
I didn't see a lot of people.
What's that?
I didn't see a lot of people, to be honest with you.
On the Appalachian Trail, you didn't?
Uh-huh. Nope.
Wow.
I went early, though.
Oh, that's true. You were out in, what, February?
Yeah, end of February.
Oh, yeah. You got out way early. You also had to deal with the snow and ice.
A little bit. Not much.
You hiked in that. So
just like 1 or 2 days. That was it.
Well, let me ask you this, because you're a hammock guy.
I am.
Are you going to be able to take a hammock at all on this one?
I probably could.
In the desert.
I probably could, you know, hang up between 2 cacti, but that's not my deal. I want to I get this question all the time, actually. So let me address it. But I've been hammock camping for many years now. I know the hammock almost inside and out. You know, I've spent 120 nights just on the AT in the hammock. I want to learn a tent now. Like, I just figured out you can shove a pair of socks down in your foot box for your quilt. And then you can cover that hole up that, you know, forms whenever you do that, when you make the foot box. Someone told me that. Like, I'm a complete and utter noob when it comes to tent camping. But I can do it in the hammock all the time. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's cool. You know, I'm looking forward to being able to talk about the experiences, not only the hammock, but the tent. And maybe, you know, when I get back, let's try a tarp. You know, let's get all 3 of the shelters, see if we can, you know, get them all down with the same amount of experience.
Oh,
I'm down
yeah.
for that.
Well, here's the, you know, you – you were actually the reason I bought a Dream Hammock Darien.
Yeah.
I got that back in 2019.
They're so good. They're very comfortable.
It's about to need to be replaced at this point. Like, it's really? The fabric's starting to, you know, I'm afraid it's one of these things I'm going to get it and fall right through it, you know, and that'll be a wonderful evening.
My AT hammock's still working.
Oh,
I wanted to try something different. So I tried a monolite fabric, but it's working great.
Nice. So how do you like the monolite?
I prefer the pack size because monolite doesn't like really squish down a lot, like Robic, for instance. But it's all right. I mean, you can see through it. If you want to look, you want to look. But, you know, the tarp covers you up for the most part.
Yeah. So what is the weight savings on that compared to your normal hammock?
It's like 0.2 ounce per square yard difference. So it's not a huge weight savings. But, it's just to try something and be able to talk about something new, like I said before. So
yeah. Yeah, I get that. I absolutely get that. So when you went before, I think you started out with a Z-Pax backpack and you moved to Light AF?
Light AF, yeah. On the AT, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I needed some extra space early on. I was planning on like wearing more clothes in the beginning and everything was fitting fine in a 35 liter. And then it got warm. I was like, well, I'm going to have to store all these extra clothes just in case. And I'm glad I did, but I ran out of room real quick.
Yeah.
You know, it just made more sense to not go frameless early on.
Yeah. Now, did you get Chris from Light AF to hook you up with some sweet swag for this trip?
I did. Yeah. That towel back there, he sent it to me. I'm trying out a new, actually, I'm in my PJs. So I'm at my work attire, but
nobody judges.
Check this
on
out.
The show.
Yeah, I'm sure. This is a new, I forget what he's calling this. It's lighter than Dyneema composite fabric. I don't know if he's planning on making backpacks out of this, but we're going to try with a fanny pack and it's lighter than DCF.
Okay.
So as long as the durability is there, we might see a new fabric when it comes to backpacking soon.
Is it part of the Ultra family?
It's part of the Ultra family. Yes.
Yeah. I think
like
Ben
PME or something like that.
Yeah. I think Ben McMillan's trying that with food bags.
There you go.
So that's some good stuff, man.
And I'll beat this up. So we'll see how it goes.
Oh, guaranteed you're going to beat it up out there. Now, what part of this trail intimidates you, if any?
The Sierra. Sierra's like, because that's like, okay, how long are you going to spend through here? This determines if I'm going to complete the trail or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you get a big snowstorm in May, I'm screwed because I can't stop. I got to go through it.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and I'm hoping for you that you don't have the fires that so many people have had over the last few years. I know Kyle O'Grady last year.
Yeah, I just talked with him on his podcast a couple months ago or a couple weeks ago. Yeah. That's I can't imagine like getting to a place and like, okay, got to go into town, find a bus, walk backwards, you know.
Yeah.
I don't
you get
know,
to
man.
Oregon.
Yeah.
You get to Oregon and it's like, "Well, you're done."
Right.
I mean, that's just I mean, gosh, that's rough. That's rough. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping for you that you're going to be one of those guys that doesn't have to worry about that stuff.
I think as long as I can get through the Sierra on time, you know, within like the two and a half weeks or whatever it's going to take me, I think I'm ahead of the curve because you see the fires in late May, June, definitely July. And that's when the big trail closures. I mean, I know that this isn't going to be a purist hike where I'm seeing every blaze or every marker on the trail or every mile. The goal for this hike is to complete as much of the trail with continuous footsteps as I can.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to beat myself up if there's a fire closure. What can I do? I'm going to try to find another trail. And if I have to road walk, I have to road walk, but I don't want to be skipping giant sections that I don't have to. Like if there's a fire and I can backtrack 10 miles, I'm going to do that and then come back. I'm going to try to complete as much as I can.
Oh yeah. And that's good. Cause we just had somebody ask the question,
I saw that, yeah.
What's your fire bypass strategy? So
yeah, Jeff's a good guy.
He is. Jeff's great. He's on here all the time.
Yep,
so,
I see him all the time in my comments too.
Oh, yeah. So let me ask you, what has been your wife's what has it been like for her when you've talked about this? Like when you asked her about doing it, how did the conversations go down? Because that's a big ask.
It is. It is. And she is just, I think that's why we took so long to meet. You know, we just met like probably 7 years ago. got married 5 years ago. Yeah, she's an amazing woman.
5 years already?
It has. Can you believe it? I can't.
Dang, man. I can't.
Yeah, we had our honeymoon. We had our honeymoon right after, or right before COVID. So,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so the conversation came up. She knew before we got married that this was something that I was interested in. I never thought she'd actually let me go on the hike, but here we are. She's raised two kids alone without the father before. So she kind of knows what she's getting into with two young, with Logan and everything. I do plan to come back for the birthdays in May. So that'll take some pressure off, but you know, it's a lot. It's going to be a lot. Like I said, I'm just walking from Mexico to Canada. She's doing the heavy lifting.
Yeah. What do you think it's going to be like for you? Like, I know, cause I've talked to my wife about doing the JMT next year and, just being gone for 1 month, I'm thinking, man, I'm going to miss my kids. I'm going to miss my wife. Being gone for 5 months, how are you preparing yourself for that?
Because I don't know.
Hard, man.
Yeah. I think that's going to be the biggest struggle for this hike. I miss my kids after, you know, just a simple overnight. I was like, oh, I can't wait to see my kids driving home and stuff. But I don't know. It's something that I, you know, if I want to do this hike, that I got to get my mind elevated above that issue and just, you know, be there as much as I can. I got a couple extra milliamps of battery banks that, you know, I can just, you know, FaceTime or whatever I need to do out there as much as I can.
Yeah. Yeah. That's big. I mean, and the nice thing is there's service everywhere almost anymore. It's hard to find places where you don't have some kind of service.
Yeah. So, I got a Garmin inReach. It has a two-way communication app now, so we can be sure I have signal all the time.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. So what gear are you taking on this hike that you did not take on your AT hike?
Let's see the differences. A lot of the gear is the same. You know, same quilts. It's a different shelter, obviously. I said I'm using a tent, so that's a Z-Pax Plex Solo. Taking a full framed light AF backpack this time, 40-liter. Bear canister, ice axe, micro spikes, which are completely, I've never hiked with bear canisters or, you know, an ice axe, but I have to in the Sierra.
Yeah.
And then other than that, I'm trying to think, everything's pretty much the same. You know, the pad is a Nemo tensor. It's a wide.
Oh yeah.
But
you gotta go with a wide.
Everything
pad.
Else. Yeah. I've noticed that because I toss and turn like a rotisserie chicken when I'm out there, but yeah, I'm just constantly in a circle, a perpetual circle. But other than that, everything's, I'm so dialed in with my gear over the years. It's just, you know, you tweak it a little bit. So,
well, you've hiked a few trails in your time.
A little bit. Yeah.
So let me ask you, what can you run down the long trails that you've done at this point? Obviously, the AT is the longest, but what are we counting
as long? What over
we'll say
what?
I think it's like
over
75 and up. We'll say 75 miles and up.
All right. So I did the, I did the Susquehannock Trail. That was kind of my first foray into longer distance backpacking. I think that's like 85 miles or something. But then we immediately jumped over to the Superior Hiking Trail in Minnesota, and we did something like 240 miles over 2 weeks. That was a sabbatical that I took from work. And that trail, I really got bit by the bug. I was like, wow, I was like day 10. I was like, man, I only have 4 more days. That sucks. You know?
Yeah.
But that's when I started thinking, I was like, you know what? The AT is possible, you know? So a couple years after that, you know, after my buddy Gary hiked it, I hiked it, and now we're going for the PCT, you know?
So is he going with you then?
No, he just had a baby last year. He got married a couple years back. So he's on lockdown for at least another 6 months. So he can't make it.
I get that. That totally makes sense. Yeah. So you were talking about the Superior Hiking Trail.
Hmm?
That a buddy of mine just did that a few years ago. I think you and I were talking about him earlier, The Flash. He did that. He told me that is the loneliest trail he's ever hiked in his life.
Really? We saw a whole bunch of people.
Yeah, maybe it was just the time of year. I don't know.
Do you know when he went?
He went, I want to say in the fall.
That's what we went, right before the fall. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I remember, and a funny story about him when he was hiking on that. So he calls me because he hasn't seen anybody for a few days. So he calls me and he goes, "Hey man, what's going on?" I said, "Are you hiking?" He goes, "Yeah." And he told me where he was. And then all of a sudden I hear him grunt like a thing. And I'm like, "Dude, you okay?" He goes, "Hang on a second. It would have been great if it was that. But no, he's quiet for a second. Then gets back out and goes, "Hey man, I got to get off of here. I just fell and put a stick through my leg and I'm bleeding everywhere."
Yeah.
And so he gets off the phone with me and I'm like, "Crap, he's out there by himself and he's not seen anybody for miles."
Yeah.
And he limped his way out of town. Well, yeah, he limped his way into town, was able to get to some kind of a doctor where they gave him, like, they cleaned out his wound and gave him antibiotics and all this kind of stuff. And they told him, "You really better take care of that or that's going to get infected and you're going to have a problem."
Did he get back out on trail?
Oh, he finished it.
Absolutely. That's awesome.
Beast, dude. He beast mode that thing.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, wow. Like, that's all I know of the Superior Hiking Trail, because that and Miyagi on the trail and Milos met there.
Okay, cool.
That's it. That's all I got, man. That's it.
It's
so,
such a great trail.
That's what I hear. I hear it's way more difficult than it probably you'd think it would be.
Yeah, I was surprised. Yeah.
Yeah, I hear it's a lot of like rolling hills. Like, it's not like huge climbs, but it just never stops. It's never really flat.
Yeah, and it's really rooty, yeah. From what I remember.
So, when you get done with the PCT, and you're in Canada, and you're excited and you're cheering, CDT?
No. So, a couple reasons. I don't want to leave the family after this, because it would take me, think about it, it takes me another 5 years to save up for that, if that would even happen, because it's longer. It's like, what, 3,600 miles or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then that means Logan's seven.
First grade.
Yeah, I can't do that. So the goal is, plus there's a whole bunch of road walking still. That trail technically isn't finished, in my opinion. You know what I mean?
Well, they've got multiple versions of it you can take.
They do. It's a choose your own adventure trail.
Yeah.
And I understand that. And I think it would be awesome to do one day. But unfortunately, if I'm able to do it when I retire, that's when I'll do it.
That makes sense.
So nothing. I'm probably going to, if anything, probably section hike longer trails. But the whole months on end, I think it's going to end with the PCT. As much as people probably don't want to hear that, but I'm trying to be a responsible dad here, guys. You know what I mean?
Oh, 100% get it, man. 100% get it. I'm going to be impressed to see how you deal with being gone from your family.
Yeah,
like, that's actually going to be one of the things I'm watching in your videos. I'm just telling you, as a dad, I know how hard that's got to be even thinking about it. So just the way you're going to be able to communicate with your family and how you pull that off is going to be pretty awesome to watch and see how it happens and how it unfolds for you. So who knows, though? Maybe when Logan gets older, he'll say, "Dad, let's go do the CDT together."
Scarlett's already asking to do the AT, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, wow.
I was like, let's get on a three-day trip first, Scarlett.
Well, what was it? The Strawbridge family. There was like seven or eight of them, and they did the AT.
Fight for Together or whatever it was?
Something like that. They all did that together last year or the year before.
Was it last year? I'm talking about somebody that was like 6-7 years ago.
Oh no, they were after that, but they were a family of like, I want to say six, like four kids and two parents.
Okay.
And they were out there doing the whole thing.
You should watch Fight for Together, because they were like 9 or maybe 11. There were a lot of kids in that one.
Oh dang.
Yeah.
Wow, I don't think I'd want to do that. I don't like hiking with 10 or 11 people. I couldn't imagine doing it with 10 or 11 family members.
Yeah.
Because you know as well as I do, we love our kids, but they fight. Kids argue. Kids complain. They whine.
They had child services called on them while on trail, and they had to deal with that on trail. I remember watching it like live. Like, it's when they posted, I mean, but it was pretty cool.
Really? That's hilarious. That's hilarious.
And they all finished, too. Every single one of them finished.
Dang. The Strawbridges, they actually did the Triple Crown. That's what it was. They did the Triple Crown as a family.
Wow, that's...
Is that nuts?
Yeah. That is so cool to accomplish that as a family, though.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I remember interviewing the kids and saying, so you think you'll ever hike again after this? And they're all like, no, we're
And then 2 weeks later, man, that was a good trip. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy how that all goes down. Okay, so I'm gonna ask you some I'm gonna name some gear items. Just to throw something in here for a second. I'm gonna name some gear items, two different ones, and I want you to tell me what you prefer over the other.
Okay.
So we're gonna go with this. We're just gonna see what your answers are, because I guarantee the people that are in the chat room, which, guys, I love you all dearly, but we've had a great conversation going, so I've kind of ignored you guys, but we'll get to you in a little bit, I promise. I'm going to name something and something else, and you just tell me which one you like better. So, sleeping bags or quilts?
Quilts.
Quilts. Why quilts?
Just more versatile. You know, if it's too hot, you know, you can always unzip the sleeping bag, but if it's cold and you're just rolling around all the time, you're wasting all that loft behind you because you're compressing it, just heavier. I don't know. Yeah. Quilts. Quilts 100%.
I know.
No matter what
this
type of weather.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Yeah. I've got 4 or 5 different quilts right now, and they're all different temperature ratings and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah. So, tent or hammock?
I don't know at this point.
Oh, wow.
Probably the hammock. The Nemo Tensor was a huge step in the right direction for me. Like, I couldn't sleep on the ground until this pad came along. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the baffles or the thickness, but hammocks will always be like number one in my heart, right. I think. Yeah.
Right. No, I get that. I get that 100%. I actually just got the Durston Gear, the X Pro Mid.
Oh, the X? Yeah.
X Mid Pro 2. X Mid Pro 2. And that gave me hope for tents. Because I get tents for some reason make me more claustrophobic than hammocks.
Hmm.
Because I at least in a hammock, I've got a big tarp around me and I can sit up in it. I can sit like on a chair when you're sitting in your hammock and do my things and everything's good. But when I get in a tent and I'm like all covered up with stuff, I don't know. It just, I'm not a big fan of it as much.
Mm.
So, but the X-Mid has kind of made me change my tune a little bit. I'm still a hammock guy, but I can do that tent.
You said you got a 1 or a 2?
I got the 2.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a big guy, man. I can't be doing a 1.
I don't know how thick it is or width-wise.
One person tents drive me crazy. I just, it's too tight for me. Like I said, claustrophobic, man. I'm claustrophobic. So let me ask you, this is a yes or no. Mountain house.
Yes.
Ooh, a yes for mountain house.
Yes.
Now, is it a conditional yes or is it just yes across the board?
Yes. it depends which one. There's a couple, like Chili Mac with Fritos in it. Delicious. Beef stroganoff, delicious. Those are kind of the only two I alternate from. Because I don't know if anybody's had the eggs, but those aren't eggs. I don't know what those are.
That's the most disgusting thing I've ever put in my
mouth. I almost threw up the first time I tried it. I'm like, you know.
Yeah. You know who makes the best eggs is
Packet Gourmet.
Yes.
So
you actually put them in a skillet and you cook them like eggs?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dude. Those are good. I did.
Go ahead.
No, I say I did Pictured Rocks, and I ate those every morning. I was doing keto at the time, and so I had a very limited kind of food I could eat on that trail. And I remember I had those eggs every single morning, and they were so good. I was shocked at how good those were.
They actually hooked me up. They got me like I want to say it's about $500 worth of meals for the PCT.
Oh, wow.
I was like, you guys are – because the story goes, the someone that watches me works for them or knows one of the people that work there. And then like a week later, they reached out to me and they say, hey, like we'd like to help you on the PCT hike. And I'm like, absolutely. I've been eating like Packet Gourmet for years now. You know what I mean? They're so delicious.
Oh, they are.
So,
they are.
Yeah, I got a giant box ready to fill up with resupply packages for them.
So are they your favorite backpacking meals?
That I've had so far, yeah.
Okay. What are some that you've been wanting to try but haven't?
What is it? Those paleo to go, paleo meals to go or something like that.
Yeah.
Peak. I haven't had a lot. It's been Mountain House, Northsides, and Packet Gourmet. But I know that you know the even the cold the ones you just add cool water or whatever and you put on like a tortilla, they're just delicious. I don't know. Maybe there's something better, but I haven't found anything yet.
I need to contact some buddies of mine and see if we can get you some Peak Refuel stuff.
I'm down. Yeah.
Because that will spoil you, dude. That stuff will spoil you, I promise. Their biscuits and gravy, when you open it, it's an actual biscuit.
How do you cook it? Or how do you
rehydrate? It's completely freeze-dried.
Oh, okay.
So you just put it down into the gravy. Like, I think, here we go. All Things Outdoors, Peak is amazing.
All right. I'll have to pick it up.
So we got to get you hooked up with some of that. I'll tell you another one that's good, but it's stupid expensive, is Stowaway Gourmet.
Okay, I've never heard of them.
They're way too expensive. I love them to death, and they're really nice people, and they make amazing food. They have it's a beer, black bean, bison chili.
Sounds good.
And it's really good. It's really, really good. So, but yeah, we'll have to get you hooked up on that.
Hey, I'm down to try them.
I like those Peak Refuel meals, man. I think you like those. All right. So, coffee or no coffee in the mornings?
Oh, I have to have coffee. You don't want to talk to me without coffee. Yes.
Cold or hot?
All day. Hot.
Okay, good.
I'm not a cold brew guy. My wife's been trying to get me on cold brew. She has like 20 bottles that she makes every morning. I'm like, I can't handle that.
I don't mind cold brew, but when it's a cool morning and you're out on trail, hot coffee's always better.
Mm-hmm.
So are you an instant coffee guy, or do you like to bring ground coffee out on your shorter trips?
I'm instant. I've tried like the expensive Starbucks via the whatever the ones in the green packet are. I can't remember the name off the top of my head. But I've tried the expensive coffee. I keep going back to that crappy Taster's Choice stuff. I don't know what it is.
Oh, yeah?
I just enjoy it. I don't know why. I don't know. It's gross, but it tastes good.
You know as well as I do, when you're on trail, things that shouldn't taste good always taste good.
Yeah.
I mean, Northsides, I'm not going to make Northsides for dinner at my house.
No.
Ever.
No.
Mm-mm. But when I'm on trail and I can have this like broccoli cheddar rice,
With buffalo tuna.
Mm-hmm. With buffalo tuna or, you know, lemon pepper chicken or something, you know. I'm thinking that's just gourmet food and I'm in heaven, you know?
Yeah, for sure. After a long, hard day.
Okay, so we've gotten food, we've gotten coffee, we've gotten tents, we've gotten hammocks, we've gotten sleeping stuff. Let's see. Backpacks. Frameless or framed?
Frameless.
Nice.
I don't like the hip belt. I don't like hip belts. I hate them.
Really?
I like to breathe. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I can't bring a frameless, not with the gear that I'm carrying on the PCT. It just doesn't make sense. But for when it makes sense, absolutely frameless.
Well, and you're ultralight. What is your base weight?
I hate that base weight nonsense. I don't
get into the Grammy weenie stuff, but
yeah,
you
got
to be ultralight to do the frameless, because I had a frameless and I wasn't ultralight and it was miserable. So
yeah, your shoulders hurt. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Everybody goes through that. So the magic number, right? The 10 pounds, I think is a good thing to shoot for. If your frameless backpack included with that weight is 10 pounds, I think people are good for frameless. But you know, if you're carrying 7 days of food in that 10 pound base weight, you know what I mean? Or 4 liters of water. It just doesn't make sense. The whole ultralight thing. Sorry, I'm like off on a tangent.
No, no, go off on your tangent, man. That's what we're here for.
The people that just look at the freaking 10 pound number, which was me, but then I learned, right?
Right.
It's a mindset. Like there is no ultralight camp chair. It doesn't exist because you don't need to carry it, right?
Right.
If you carry a camp chair, you're not ultralight, even if you're at a 5 pound base weight. It's the whole mentality. And that's an extreme example, you chair people, so don't jump on me. I'm saying...
You're good, man. You're good.
You know, if you just look at it, like, what do I actually need to hike the trail? Your base weight could be 14 pounds, and you are still ultralight. As long as you're carrying just what you need to be safe, you're not borrowing filters from your friend, that kind of stuff. You have a proper first aid kit. That is ultralight to me. Don't look at the numbers, though.
No, that's great. That's great. Now, I will say I tend to hike as light a weight as I can with all of the comforts I can get.
Yeah.
I don't even pretend. Like, I do bring a chair with me.
Hey, that's fine.
I'm 50 years old. I got jacked up knees.
Are you really 50? You don't look it at all, well, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, I got a bad back. I got bad knees. And I don't want to get on the I don't want to get off the ground. So that's why I like hammocks better. That's why I like chairs better. You know, it's a whole lot easier to get out of bed in the morning out of a hammock than it is out of
absolutely.
A tent.
Yeah, it is.
So I'm very much a I consider myself the really lightweight comfort backpacker.
And that's cool.
That is my world that I live in.
Just don't like the fights on the Reddit subs. Oh my god. Drives me nuts, dude.
Yeah, we call Reddit the toxic landscape of backpacking.
They've really gone downhill the past couple of years.
Oh man, everybody's just trying to prove each other wrong. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So with that said, so you went with a frameless pack. Now, trekking poles or no trekking poles?
I like trekking poles.
Yeah.
I think they help. So sometimes I find myself just holding one in the right hand, you know what I mean? But I don't know. So whenever I don't use trekking poles and my hands are just down at my sides, my hands like go numb.
Mine swell.
So it's nice to be able to mine swell, exactly. It's just nice to be able to switch, you know, the grip, kind of get the blood flow going.
Yeah.
You know?
I know I've done some trips without trekking poles and I find myself holding my straps with my hands just to keep my hands up. Because the blood, like you said, all that blood flows down to your hands while you're hiking miles.
Yeah.
And so I'll just put my thumbs in behind my straps and just kind of hold them there and get my hands up a little bit to like let the blood
flow. I've done that on day hikes. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm with you on the trekking poles, man. I'm with you on the trekking poles. So if we're on the topic of trekking poles, are we carbon or aluminum?
I hate carbon poles, and I'll tell you why. At least on the East Coast, for you East Coast hikers, I've snapped my carbon poles on the AT probably 8 to 10 times. And I kept making them. Luckily, you know, I kept making them like, you know how it comes in different sections. So you have 3 sections of poles.
Yeah.
So it would break at the bottom. Then I would put the middle section up in this side and, you know, adjust it so they were all the same length. But I'd rather it bend and be able to be bent back than just completely snap and be useless. At one point I was hiking without a tip on the pole because it just snapped off the whole thing. So I have a pair. They're actually, I don't know if you've been looking at the new aluminum stuff. I can't remember what my Lakeys are now, but they're lighter than my carbon poles that I used on the AT.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm going to have to look into those. I've got a pair of the Gossamer Gear ones.
Yeah. And my buddy Togs had that and they ended up breaking like three or four times for her.
Yeah.
And it's just not worth it, especially they're overpriced. But look up at the Makalu Light, whatever that aluminum is that's lighter than the carbon fiber that I used previously, at least.
Okay. Yeah, I'll definitely check those out. Right now, I think I'm doing some Black Diamond aluminum poles.
The distance.
That I've got.
Oh, aluminum. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I've got some of those because I actually have one of the Gossamer gears snapped on me. Like, it didn't snap, it cracked. And so once it's cracked, I'm not taking it back out. And it actually cracked on the little tightening thing. It wasn't the pole itself. It was the thing that tightens the pole.
It's the locks.
Yeah. So that was like, I don't know about that.
Yeah. And as Jeff said, Cascade Mountain Tech, they make a pretty beefy carbon pole. My wife uses those, and we've already cracked one on her first trip. So.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. Yeah, I just haven't had good luck with them.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know what West Coast hiking's like. I've not spent a lot of time out west.
Me either.
So I can't speak for West Coast, but I know like if you were in the east side of the states, man, we got roots and rocks and crap everywhere.
And they get stuck under those roots and rocks.
Yeah, yeah, all the time. So it's like you kind of have to be really careful with something as fragile as carbon to not snap those.
Absolutely.
All right. So trail runners, I'm not going to ask waterproof or not waterproof. I already know the answer to that one. But what are the ones that you're using right now?
I'm really liking the Topo Athletics, the Terra Ventures specifically. Those are the only ones I've used by them. They're like a quality Altra. You know what I mean? Like, you know, the Altra, the Lone Peaks, the tail cap always falls apart. First 3 miles. I've been using the ones that the Terra Venture 4s, 190 miles on them. Yeah, okay. 90 miles on them. The toe cap. Wow, is still on them. So
yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I've got a pair of Topo Ultra Ventures.
Okay. My dad was using them in the Grand Canyon. They're like a little bit more cushion.
A little bit more cushion, but the thing I didn't like about them was it was hard to get the center of the shoe tied down tight enough. I actually messed up my foot last summer in those, where my foot slid inside the shoe when it went sideways on a rock or something. And my foot slid sideways and I jacked up my foot on a hike using those. So, yeah. So for me, I'd love to, I'll probably try some Terra Ventures at some point. The Ultra Ventures, though, that's what they did to me. And I wasn't too fond of my foot. I found I couldn't get them tight enough around the bridge of my feet to where they would slide around.
If you like the cushion in the Ultra Ventures, get the Terra Ventures and get a cushiony insole like the Trailblazer Comforts.
Yeah.
So they'll have the same like drop or same stack in them, basically.
Well, I'm doing the Hokas right now.
Okay.
I'm really liking those.
You don't roll your ankles in those?
No, uh-uh.
No, I was rolling mine all the time in the Olympus from Ultra. Yeah, I had to back off.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I did the Speed Goats. So
okay.
Those are doing really well. They're probably my favorite ones I've used so far, in all honesty. I don't do well with the Zero Drop. Like, Zero Drop's not a good one for me. Like, I know a lot of people love the Zero Drop, but
yeah, and I honestly can't tell a difference between the Topos and the Ultras.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit for the heel striking thing, but that's
it. I will say the one thing I liked about the Ultra Ventures, they had a rock plate. And that was real nice. That was real nice, especially after a long day. Like, you get about 15 miles and more into a hike, and all of a sudden, like, every rock or root, you can feel it through your shoe. Those rock plates are awesome for that.
Yeah, but you can also accomplish that with an insole, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just like, find a shoe that fits you well and then adjust around it kind of thing for me.
Oh, yeah. So here's the question then. Do you put insoles in all your shoes?
I do now. I realized on the AT that my arches were falling. It's very, very uncomfortable. So I need something with a little bit more of an arch. I've been loving the Superfeet Trailblazers. There's several different models of it. They just work for me. So I just never left after the AT.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Nice. Okay. Last question. Cold soak or no cold soak?
I would like to try it. I can't say either way if I like cold soaking. I've never cold soaked before, though.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I've never tried it either. And I see people doing it, and I just think to myself, man, I really like eating those warm meals at the end of the day. So yeah. I don't know. I'd have to give it a try.
Right.
So, all right, let's flip this thing and talk about something completely different now.
Sure.
I remember watching your videos early, like back before you did the AT, and talking to you now, watching your videos now, you smile a lot more. And that's not to say you didn't smile before, but you just seem like ever since the AT and getting married, you've been a different guy. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. I think if you'd ask my wife, she'd say the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. You think it's just being a family guy now and having kids? And
I think something clicked in my head on the AT. And yeah, the family definitely adds to it. But I think it all started with whatever happened in Vermont, roughly.
Yeah.
For me on the AT. Yeah.
Like I said, your AT videos, like, a lot of people do them, and it's all the same thing. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about, right? Here's a random shot of my feet. Here's, we get to camp. Here's random shots of people doing nothing, but I'm putting it in my video anyways. Here's food. Here's, you know, let's talk about everybody's gear.
It's not relatable.
You were telling a story the whole time. Mm-hmm. And I remember Vermont very well because we get to that part in this series of videos, and you're just walking on the trail, and you just start smiling huge in the video. And I remember watching that going, what just happened? Because it was like, it was visible. You know what I mean? Like, it was so visible when we were watching the video. How do you explain that to people when they ask you about the AT? Because I know from what I've heard from you with the AT wasn't just a hike.
No, it was something else. Which I'm not saying that, you know, if you're having troubles, like if you're having like depression, whatever, like that hiking an AT or a PCT or any long distance trail will just magically fix these things. Right. I went into the hike not expecting anything, like I said at the beginning. of this podcast, but yeah, I don't know what happened. There was a time where I kind of zoned out. I saw a white blaze in a tree. I zoned out, and ever since that moment, I'm not religious. I'm not religious at all. Call it a God moment, spiritual moment, one with nature moment. I don't know what it was. I made a whole video about it because I still can't explain it. Yeah. But something happened that day, and it's kind of completely reversed the way I thought. Like, I was at the edge of reversing it, but then it pushed me over.
Yeah. Yeah. That's wild, man. Like, I can't imagine.
It's crazy.
Like, I'm going to shoot straight. I cannot wait to watch your PCT video. I mean, how are you going to do those? Is it going to be kind of similar to what you did with the AT?
I'm just going to try to film a little bit more of scenery, but I want to keep my thoughts in the video because I think that really connects with certain people that need connected to. Yeah. And that's what I kind of learned on the AT, just in emails and comments. And, you know, even after the trail, people still come up to me. And it's like, hey, your documentary, like, it's crazy to like hear that feedback. Cause I'm just like a dude just shooting film in the woods. Like I'm not anybody special, but when you right. connect with someone, you're like, I should keep doing this.
Yeah.
You know, I can help one person along the way. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it's hard for me to connect with a lot of trail videos because after you've watched so many of them, they all kind of like feel the same.
Yeah.
And so when you find one where there's a story interwoven within it, that's not mm-hmm. just about this trail and seeing the scenes of it and seeing the cool places. And, you know, I can't tell you how many pictures and videos I've seen of McAfee Knob at this point in my life.
Yeah.
But to see a transformation of a person while they're hiking the trail is just something that's, I mean, not to sound corny, but it's special, you know, to be able to see something like that. So I'm yeah. really interested to see how the PCT goes for you.
Yeah, me too.
I'm really
nothing,
interested.
Maybe nothing happens. Maybe it's just a hike.
It'll probably just
know.
Suck. Yeah, I'm just kidding. It's
it will.
Probably be awful.
It probably will.
It's probably the worst
don't even,
PCT
don't
I've
even
ever.
Unsubscribe. Don't even watch.
Yeah. Everybody who's watching right now, just go ahead and unsubscribe to Frozen. It's going to be awful. It's going to be terrible. No. Okay, so we're at a point here. Oh, you got an Outland on here.
Outland. Oh, he's so fun to hang out with. I don't know if you've ever hung out with him. Yeah.
We've talked about it. We've just never had the chance, but he says he's a rock star at trail days.
I was getting pulled off to the side quite a bit at trail days. Yeah.
Getting
in Virginia. Yeah.
That's awesome.
It was cool. It was really cool.
That's awesome. So there's a tradition we have on this podcast, and you and I talked about it beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you're prepared for this. I mean,
probably not.
Here you go. Pizza Ninja's already gone on here. Poop time. Come on. So do you have any good poop stories from the trail? Any trail that you've been on in your backpacking career?
Like gross stories or what do you guys want to hear?
It could be gross. It could be funny. It could be embarrassing. It could be whatever the heck you want to tell.
Okay. I got a gross one from the Superior Hiking Trail.
All right,
I don't think I've ever told this story either. Maybe I did. So we at the so the Superior Hiking Trail, like I said, we did 240 miles over 2 weeks. We resupplied three times. We got back at the trail. You have to stay in the shelters, and each shelter area has a like a toilet, a latrine toilet in the middle of nowhere, no cover. It's just kind of at the campsite, right?
Right.
All right. So one night, the backpacking meals hit me real hard at like three in the morning.
Attacks.
Yeah, it attacked, and I was meandering over to the this is gonna be so gross, I don't know why I'm telling this story. And I meander over to the latrine, I lift up the lid and do my business, and I go back. It was real cold that night. It was gross. It was just like, oh my god, it's so, like, you know when you sit down on a toilet seat, you're like, oh my god, I just want to get this over with.
Yes.
Okay. Jesus. Okay. So I get back in the hammock, pull my pants up, get back in the hammock, and I'm like, what is that smell? What the heck is that smell? And I'm like feeling around. I was like, did I not wipe good enough, or what the heck is going on here? Dude, I sat and poop on the latrine toilet. Somebody missed the hole and did it on the seat. And I threw up in my mouth. It was so gross, dude. Gary had a super big laugh at that whenever I did that, but I will never forget that ever.
Lesson learned, always look before you sit.
Yeah, I was trying not to wake anybody up, so I'm not using like my headlamp shining it out to everybody, because it's right at the campsite, you know what I mean?
Oh man, that's awful. That's awful. The worst part about that is you pulled your pants up.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I washed off in a stream the next day.
Oh yeah.
And sanitizered my liner and everything.
Oh yeah, I believe it, man.
Terrible.
I believe it. And now you've just gotten more street cred than you ever had before.
Probably.
On the podcast. So, hey, real quick, we're believe it or not, we are almost an hour into this thing. And can you tell people the best way to find you online? Because I know as you get ready to do this, it starts in May, right? Is when you're going to start hiking?
April 12th. Okay. I'll be on there, yeah.
Well, you're just a few weeks away then.
Yeah, it's like 4 weeks away, yep. Yeah, sure. I'm on Instagram. You can find me at Frozen's Adventures, I believe, and also filming on YouTube. Videos will be delayed by 2 weeks, but again, Frozen's Outdoor Adventures. You can find me there.
Yeah, and I can promise everybody who's on here right now, who's watching, or if you're listening on the audio, get on there and watch these. I'm not trying to butter him up, guys. Like, I'm not trying to like make him feel good about himself. The end of his AT hike, the video collage that he put together at the end of that was awesome. I don't get emotional watching hiking videos. And freaking Frozen made me emotional watching a stupid hiking video at the end of the AT. So it was just really good. And so just be prepared. It's gonna be great stuff. I can't wait to follow along, man. I'm just gonna be hoping for no snow coming down after you start it. No forest fires. I'm just hoping that you actually do get to do a straight footpath the whole way. I'm hoping that works out for you, man.
It hasn't been done in many years, but I'm hoping. We'll see.
We'll see what happens. But, man, I appreciate you being on here.
Yeah, no problem.
Especially without Jeremiah here, because Jeremiah has all the personality. So it's like, without Jeremiah here, you had to put up with me, which that's impressive in and of itself. So thank you for being on, man. If you can hang out in the green room a few minutes, I'm going to sign off.
Absolutely.
Here, and I'll see you in a few seconds.
Thanks, everybody.
All right, guys, not a whole lot needs to be said. Just great having Frozen on here. Just this guy has got so much knowledge when it comes to hiking and backpacking, and it's so cool to have him on here to share all that with us. Guys, I am so sorry I haven't been able to get over here and look at the comments. I promise they will get looked at. All of you who made comments about Jeremiah not having merch, you're all correct. He doesn't, and he probably won't. I am going to promise you, though, there will be merch this summer for the Backpacking Podcast, because I'm the one in charge of it. So it's going to happen. Also, just as a reminder, April 1st, we're going to be doing an in-person live stream podcast event at J&H Outdoors in Lexington, Kentucky. That's going to start at 8 p.m. on Monday, April 1st. And Rob Pelton is going to be there from Leave No Trace and the Rob Pelton YouTube channel. So it's going to be a good night. I don't know how it's going to work. We're still trying to figure all that out, but it's going to be a great night, and we hope that some of you guys are going to be able to come out and be a part of that. If you're near Central Kentucky or you just want to come down and hang out with us for a night, come on out. It's going to be a great time. For myself and for Jeremiah, who will be back next week, we will catch you guys on the next one.